Chapter 21. The Final Plans.
"What do you mean you haven't moved the body yet?"
Maldonado asked angrily when Gronky phoned him after midnight. After Gronky explained what had happened, Maldonado said,
"Finish the job tomorrow night."
Driving back to the motel, Reggie and Mark were silent, thinking about what they had just seen. When they reached their room, they lay down on the beds, too tired to move. "Mark, we have to talk about what will happen next," Reggie said.
"I guess we'll have to tell the FBI about the body, and that means that Mum, Ricky and I will have to enter the witness protection program," said Mark quietly.
"That's right," Reggie said.
"I'll never see Memphis again," Mark said.
Suddenly he began to cry. Not just about leaving Memphis, but about everything that had happened in the past week. Reggie put her arms round him and sat with him until he fell asleep. She then called Truman's hotel in Memphis, and the receptionist told her that Truman had returned to New Orleans. Reggie found his home number in the telephone book.
"It's Reggie Love," she said when
Truman finally answered the phone.
"We found the body."
"Here? In New Orleans?"
he asked without thinking. There was a short pause.
"How do you know we're here?" Reggie asked.
"We had an FBI agent listening to Diane Sway's phone," Truman admitted.
"I insist that you tell your agent to stop listening to her phone calls immediately," Reggie said angrily.
"Fine," said Truman. "So, where's the body?"
"I'll tell you later," said Reggie. "But first there are some conditions that you have to agree to."
"Where can we meet?"
Truman asked.
"Meet me at the coffee shop in the Traveller's Motel," said Reggie. "And be quick or Maldonado's men will get to the body first. Oh, and Larry, come alone."
"I'll be there in 30 minutes, said Truman.
Reggie was sitting at a table when Truman walked into the coffee shop at 4 in the morning.
"Nobody's listening to Diane's phone calls anymore," he said as he sat down. He wanted Reggie to trust him.
"Good," said Reggie. "Now these are the conditions. I want you to organise a private plane to fly Diane and Ricky here to get Mark, and then to continue on to Phoenix. I want the FBI to organise Ricky's treatment there and pay all the costs."
Reggie presented several more demands, including a monthly salary for 3 years so that Diane wouldn't have to work until the boys were older. Truman agreed to everything. He knew he had no choice. After making several phone calls to tell people to begin organising everything, Truman asked,
"When do I find out where the body is?"
"Once the Sways are on a plane and on their way to Phoenix," said Reggie.
They discussed some more details and then Truman said,
"I'll come and get you and Mark when the plane has left Memphis."
"Fine," said Reggie. "We're in room 12.
"It's 5 in the morning, Clint complained when Reggie called. "But I'm happy to hear your voice. What's happening?"
Reggie quickly explained the situation. Then she asked Clint to prepare a contract with all the conditions that Truman had agreed to. Next, she called Diane and told her everything that had happened.
"Plans are being made for you to go to Phoenix today," Reggie said. "My secretary will bring you a contract with all the details."
"You mean we have to leave Memphis immediately?" Diane asked.
"Yes, there's no other choice," said Reggie. "A private plane will fly you and Ricky to New Orleans to get Mark. Then you'll continue on to Phoenix."
Diane knew that Reggie was right. She had no other choice.
At 8:30 a.m., Mark, Reggie, Truman and several other FBI agents watched the plane land. When Diane came down the steps, Mark ran to her and they embraced.
"I'm sorry about everything," Mark said.
It's not your fault, Diane said. We're going to be fine.
How's Ricky?
Mark asked. He was awake almost all day yesterday, and Dr. Greenway thinks he's getting better, said Diane.
Did you read the contract? Reggie asked. Nodding her head, Diane took the contract out of her bag and gave it to Reggie. Reggie read it and then gave it to Truman. After he had read and signed it, Reggie added her signature, and then Diane did the same.
Good luck to you, Truman said, shaking hands with Mark and Diane. And thank you, Mark. Your information will help us put a murderer in prison. Truman then walked away so that Reggie and the family could say goodbye privately. Embracing Reggie, Diane said,
Thank you for helping, Mark.
Mark's eyes suddenly filled with tears.
Please come with us, Reggie, he said.
I can't, Reggie said gently. She felt as if her heart was going to break. She put her arms round him and said,
I love you, Mark. I'll miss you. Me too, he said.
He knew it would be the last time they would ever see each other. With tears in her eyes, Reggie watched the plane until it disappeared into the distance. Then she joined Truman. The body's in Clifford's garage, 886 East Brookline, she said. Speaking into his radio phone, Truman repeated the address to his agents.
Thank you, Reggie, he said.
I really didn't do anything, Reggie said. Mark did it all.